Hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning. If God's been good to you, won't you just give God your best praise this morning? Let him know that he is worthy this morning. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is Jehovah God this morning. He is worthy of my praise. Hallelujah in the house of the Lord. Whew. Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. How about the praise team this morning? Didn't they do a wonderful job? Amen. They done got so used to me coming in and saying, hey, we're going to try this. And they're just like, all right, we'll try it. It's like something mama cooked that you ain't never eat before. You just say, yeah, I'm not so sure how that looks, but we'll try it. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 through 30. Praise is a weapon. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you know that praise is a weapon?
Amen.
When you ain't got nothing else to fight with, praise is a weapon.
Amen.
When you're not strong enough on your own, praise is a weapon.
Yeah.
And in this Thanksgiving season, I was going to preach in our continuation of the sermon series that the Lord had blessed us to start a couple weeks ago, but I didn't want to make all the women upset on the day that they were supposed to be preparing our meals. Hey, man, I feel like the older I get, the wiser I get, and that's just one of them things I didn't want to preach about on a Sunday morning where the women were going to be helping get the food together, because my plate would have been prepared, amen. It'd have been ready for me to eat. Pastor, come here. This is your plate right here. Don't give it to nobody else. And then I'd have been out for a couple weeks. But anyway, praise is a weapon. There's five things we're going to look at in the text this morning from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 through 30. And number one, we see a problem. Number two, we're going to see a prayer. Number three, we're going to see a prophecy. Number four, we're going to see positioning. And then number five, we're going to see a praise. So as we go through this text, if you want to just outline or highlight those thoughts, that's kind of our, focal points this morning. We're going to read the scripture and give you what the Lord's laid on our heart. And then we're going to encourage you at the end of service today to pick up your weapon of praise, take off the garment of heaviness, and fight in a battle this morning. I believe just through the authority of God's word and through the stirring of the Holy Spirit that somebody's going to leave victorious this morning.
Amen.
I'm not one of those name it, claim it, turn it around and flip it upside down kind of preachers, but I do believe in the power of God's word, and I believe that if it worked for Judah, it'll work for us this morning.
Amen.
So hopefully as we get through this sermon, the Lord will speak to your heart and chains of religion will be broken, formality be broken, and we just pray that the Holy Spirit will take full control of the remainder of this service as he's already begun to do.
Amen.
Verse number one says, now it came about after this that the sons of Moab, the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Midianites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea and out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamara, that is in Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said,
O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might such that no one can stand and withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, We will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, and he said,
"Listen, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley, in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you."
Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites from the son of the Kohathites and of the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said,
"Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper."
When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, so they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, they were corpses lying on the ground. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. Somebody say, so much.
So much.
It was so much. It was too much. Amen. Then on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, they have named that place the Valley of Baraka until today. Every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned with Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Amen.
Amen.
They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and this dread of God was on all the kingdoms of the land when they had heard that the Lord had fought against the enemy of Israel. So the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God gave him rest on all sides. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, God, we praise your name because you are worthy. You are a good, good Father. God, you're a God who is able. You're a God who is willing. You're a God who can and who will fight for us. And we praise you for that, God. We praise you that not only do you help us to overcome enemies and oppositions, frustrations and things that set us back, but you give us much more. And we thank you that you're a God of much more. And in this season of Thanksgiving, God, if we're up against an enemy this morning, help us to leave this morning knowing that if we can open our mouths and give you praise and give you glory and give you honor, that you're a God who is willing and able to fight for his children. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Have your way in this house. Give us unction to preach with a power that has an ability to change and save lives. In Jesus' name, God's people say,
amen.
Amen. The Bible begins with a problem in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. There's a problem presented to a people. But in that first verse, the Bible says, after this. And that's a significant two-letter or two-worded phrase that we look into in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Ahab, king of Israel, was killed in a battle despite a crafty plan that he had formulated to disguise Jehoshaphat, who had accompanied himself with this evil king of Israel, Ahab. Ahab thought it a good idea to disguise Jehoshaphat as himself, and they went out into battle, and the Bible talks about how Jehoshaphat cried out to the Lord, and he sought the face of the Lord, and God was able and willing to cause the enemy to recognize that it was Jehoshaphat who they were after, and he rerouted the enemy. Oh, thank God. He rerouted the enemy, and the enemy went and destroyed Ahab. Jehoshaphat comes back home, and immediately after this mistake, he faces a rebuke from a man named Jehu. And Jehu begins to rebuke Jehoshaphat for shacking up, I guess, or whatever you want to say, with the enemy. Amen. He partners up with him. He's unequally yoked with an evil king, and Jehu rebukes him, but in this rebuke we find words of encouragement. And I think that's significant because we're so often willing to rebuke, but we don't encourage. But that's another sermon for another day. But he says, but there is some good in you. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, there is some good in you. There is some good in you. You've made a mistake, but there's still some good in you. Amen. You got some problems, but there's some good in you still. Amen. There's some good in you, Jacob. There's a little bit of good left in you. For you have removed the Ashtaroth. You've taken the wooden idols out of Judah, and you've tried to live for the Lord, but you've still made some mistakes, but there's some good in you. You've taken this Ashtaroth from the land, and you've set your heart to seek God, so that's a good thing you got going for you. This encouragement leads Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah into a time of reformation. After returning to Jerusalem and setting his heart on the things of God and determining in his mind that he will dwell in Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat appoints judges in all the fortified cities and all the cities of Judah to help lead the people in the ways of the Lord. He sets up in Jerusalem some appointed Levites and priests. The Bible says, for the judgment of the Lord and to judge despite or disputes among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So it is after this time of reformation, these things begin to happen. After this time of personal recommitment, after this time of having made a mistake and then gotten back into fellowship with God, it is after this that an enemy comes to attack Jehoshaphat. Oh, good God, help me. It's in my spirit. I think that's what it is. I hadn't had no breakfast, so I'm feeling like it's the sermon this morning. But after having some trouble sometimes and having made up in his mind that I'm going to live for the Lord, there's an enemy that formulates against him. And I know some of us can't correlate with that, but Some of us know what it's like to have made some stupid decisions in life, come back home and feel a rebuke or conviction from the Holy Spirit, and we say, Lord, as for me and my house, we will live for you. And then all of a sudden, here comes a knock on your door, boom, 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 boom. Whatever your door sounds like, you might have one of them rings that goes, ding, 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 ding. You know, it makes you feel like, oh, somebody's here to see me. And then you open that door, and on the other side of that door, there's a report that you weren't anticipating. You was hoping that maybe somebody was selling some Krispy Kreme donuts, or you know, you was hoping that maybe somebody was dropping off an Amazon package, or you know, you was hoping for something good on the other side of the door. But when you open up the door, there's a report that a great multitude is coming against you, and it's only about 15 miles out of the way. But Lord, I just got back in church. But Lord, I've been praying every night. Lord, I've been reading my Bible every morning. It rains on the just and the unjust. And you get that report that there's a coalition been formed by the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites, and they're only about 15 miles away. This is an abounding, strong crowd that's come against Jehoshaphat. This isn't some headache he woke up with. Amen. Those things are not fun. Amen. I'm not making light of that. But this is a big enemy.
Amen.
This is that phone call you get from the doctor saying, hey, you got about 6 months.
Yeah.
Amen. This is that, hey, your kid's in jail. Amen. This is that, hey, if you don't change something in your diet, you got about a year. This is that kind of news you don't want to hear on Christmas morning because you thought you was waking up to a present wrap, but you actually wake up to a trial or tribulation at an unexpected time because you've been living for God and God's supposed to be raining blessings on your life, but for some reason, Satan isn't going to leave you alone. And he's going to bring an attack against you, and you've got to be ready for it when it comes knocking on your door. Jehoshaphat, the Bible says he was afraid. Oh, his stomach began to turn. Have you ever had a phone call or got that report where your heart just drops into your gut?
Amen.
And you just feel sick at your stomach. You just got to go and find somewhere to hide away because if you see anybody, you might just snap on them at any given second because you can't handle what's going on in your spirit.
Come on, brother.
You're sick. You're disgusted. You're afraid. You don't know what to do. You can't pay your way out of this one.
On.
What in the world are we going to do when we get that report? He's afraid. He's dreadful. Everything's good, and then all of a sudden it changes. This report, there's an enemy bigger than me right outside the gate, has changed a season of rejoicing and joyfulness into a time of mourning. But the Bible says, Jehoshaphat, oh, this is good, turned his attention to the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Woo! Hey! Instead of looking and fixating himself on the enemy that was outside the gate, Jehoshaphat said, I can't look at that because it's bigger than me anyway, but I know one who I can turn my attention to. And if I look at Abba Father and I cry, Abba Father, it's bigger than I am, but it ain't no way. Under heaven, it's bigger than you. Jehoshaphat said, I can't keep looking at what's ailing me, what's causing me to be dreadful, what's causing me to be fearful, what's causing me to get sick and busted and disgusted. I've got to turn my eyes to the one who can change everything because I can keep looking at it and it ain't going away. I can turn away from it, and it ain't going away. But what happens is when we turn our eyes away from the things that we can't handle or that we can't fight against, it's like a child looking to his father. And I can relate to this because I got kids now. The older I get, the more I can relate to it, and it just makes me happy. Amen. People say, you ain't got the experience that you need. Yeah, I do. I got kids now, so hush that up. But it's like little James coming up to me. Daddy, I'm hungry. Amen. And then my eyes just glossed over.
Yeah.
Daddy, I'm sick today. And what he's done is he's taken his attention off of his sickness. And he's looked into Abba Father's eyes or Father's eyes. I'm not Abba Father, but I am Father. And he says, Father, I can't fix my macaroni and cheese. But you can. Praise God. I can't reach the microwave because when you designed it, you didn't make it for short people because you're 6 foot tall and everybody else in your house is 3 foot tall except for Brittany. She's 5 foot nine, amen. She's up, but she's tall too, amen. But he couldn't solve his problem, but he knew the one to look to who could handle his issue. Jehoshaphat says, I can't look at the enemy because it's just going to keep making me afraid. I can't keep looking at the report because it's just going to keep making me anxious. Amen. Amen. And he decides to look at the one. Instead of looking at the problem, he decides to look at the one who can solve his problem. Not only does he turn his attention away from the enemy that's attacking him or coming against him, he turns his attention away from his own flesh. But because the Bible says he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So he says, I've got to look to God because I can't take care of this. I'm going to turn away from my flesh. I'm going to stop feeding something that can't solve my issue and depend upon the one who can. See, in a normal situation, a king would have prepared the armies for battle and called the commanders together. Hey, we've got a great enemy. But no, all of Judah is in a fast. Amen. All of Judah is in a fast. He could have said, you need to eat and dine tonight, for tomorrow we go to war. But instead, he proclaims a fast. And we know that all of Judah trusted his leadership because all of Judah from every city gathered themselves together. They began to fast and they began to seek the face of the Lord. Amen. And I just got an inclination in my spirit that Jehoshaphat knew from chapter 18 that the same God that he sought in that situation would be the same God who could show up in this situation. He said, I couldn't do it then, and I can't do it now, but I know the one who can. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, I know the one who can. Hallelujah. There's a problem in my life, but I can't fix it. But I know the one who can. How do I touch the heart of God? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. All he wants us to do this morning is to relinquish our abilities or lack thereof and say, Father God, I need your help. Amen. And so they begin to pray. Jehoshaphat stands in the assembly, begins to pray. And with many people from every city gathered at this newly renovated temple or house of the Lord, Jehoshaphat positions himself before the new court and he begins to beseech the Lord. He begins to beg the Lord for his intervention. And in his prayer, we find Jehoshaphat recognizes a few things. Number one, he recognizes that God is our Heavenly Father. Amen. Number two, he recognizes that God is the ruler over all the kingdoms of the nation. He says, you're a Heavenly Father and you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. He also recognizes that God is powerful and mighty in verses 6. He also recognizes that no one can stand against his God. Amen. If I call on you, I got the best one I can find. Amen. You're the only one. He recognizes that this land that's trying to be taken was originally a gift from God anyway. He says, this isn't our land. This is land you've given us, and they're coming to attack what you've given me. Amen. And God says, oh, no, they don't. Oh, no. You see, when we start relinquishing and taking loose or letting loose some things that God's given us, and God, you give this to me to start with, you're going to have to help me keep it because I can't keep it on my own. God says, I got your back, baby. Amen. Amen. They also recognize that the people who have lived in this land have honored God. They've honored God's name in the land. He recognizes that the people who've been given this land have decided to trust in the Lord and to call on His name should they face evil, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, and distress. Anytime we get in trouble, we know who to call. Amen. Number 8, he recognizes that this ain't the first time we've encountered this enemy. After Israel departed from the Red Sea, they headed north from circling Mount Seir towards the land of promise. They were commanded by the Lord not to provoke the Moabites or the Ammonites because they were kinsmen through the sons of Lot. And you can find that in Genesis chapter 19, verse 37 through 38. And you can find that other in the book of Exodus or Deuteronomy Rather, I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 2. Jehoshaphat was praying this prayer. He was praying that God wouldn't allow Israel's obedience in a previous season to become an opportunity for their destruction in the current. He says, God, we obeyed you back then, but we let them live, and now they're coming against us. And we don't want our obedience in a previous season to become something that set us up for failure in the current day. The ninth thing he recognizes is the magnitude of the enemy. He recognizes their own powerlessness, and he recognizes their oblivion. They're not knowing what to do. And sometimes in our life, we get in situations where there's an enemy that's way bigger than we are. We get in a place where we feel powerless. Amen.
Amen.
And we don't know what to do. What in the world are we going to do? Oh, but Jehoshaphat gets the strength up inside of him. And he says, but our eyes are on you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes,
because when I can't, he can.
Amen.
Our eyes aren't on the problem. Our eyes are on the problem solver.
Amen.
I'm not strong enough to fight this enemy. I'm not educated enough to fight this enemy. There's not a guideline for what we should do when we fight this enemy.
That's right.
And so we're going to turn our eyes off of everything we've put together in the past because we don't know what to do.
Amen.
But you do. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. Hallelujah. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from the time forth and forever. It's the Lord whom we must seek, because when I can't, he can this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay down here. I like it down here. I like it. Might take a lap. Hallelujah. The Bible says that all of Judah was standing before the Lord. Desperate fathers and desperate mothers holding infants in their arms. Starry-eyed children in their hands. Teenage young men, maybe not teenage, but young men afraid they might be called to war. They're finna get drafted. Daddy's about to have to leave their babies and go to war, not knowing if they're gonna come back again. This might be the last time they're assembled as one whole family. And all of Judah stands there in silence as the prayer's been petitioned up to God, desperately waiting for something to happen. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the congregation, hallelujah, in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jehaziel. And God proves himself faithful. He says, if you ask, you shall receive. You seek, you shall find. If you knock, it shall be opened unto you. And there they are, desperately looking up to God. And in the middle of that, this silent anticipation was broken with a word of prophecy given to somebody on the praise team.
Amen.
It was. It was given to somebody on the praise team. Jehaziel from the lineage of Asaph. The sons of Asaph were among those who were appointed by David in 1 Chronicles 25, 1 through 7 to prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals. And so these men who were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres, through these men, through these scriptures, we find that there's a significance between prophetic utterances and praise in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
There's a significance in praise and prophecy.
Amen.
Prophecy is a forth-telling of the word of the Lord, a proclamation of the word of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord fell on Jehaziel, and he began to prophesy what the Lord had spoken to his spirit.
Amen.
And it still happens.
That's right.
When we seek the Lord, if we need an answer from God, it may not come out of my mouth. It might fall through a brother Tom this morning. And God might speak a prophetic utterance to another brother. But it still happens. There are still gifts of prophecy at work in the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you don't believe it, read your Bible. It's in there. If you don't want it, that's fine. Get out of the way. Let somebody else enjoy it for a minute. But there was a prophecy that came. He says, listen, thus saith the Lord, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but this one's God's.
Lord.
This one belongs to God. You need not fight in this battle. Deuteronomy 3-4 says, do not be faint-hearted, do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against our enemies to save you.
Amen.
Now most of us see this as permission to sit back and do nothing while God just slays our giants. Well, the Bible says God will fight for me, and He will fight for you. But that doesn't release you from responsibility this morning.
Amen.
This isn't time for you to take a sabbatical and stay in the temple of worship while God's out on the battlefield fighting your battles. I talked to Brother Chris last night, and the Lord showed this to me. Hey, you know, we've got good at having church. We're good at going to the temple. We're good at worshiping. We're good at praising. We're even good at listening to the preacher sometimes. We're good at hearing prophetic utterance. But when it comes time to go out the back door and go into the battlefield, we often just forget.
Amen.
That we just come into a season or a time of preparation so that we can go position ourselves in the face of the enemy.
That's right.
And so God says that when you have heard this prophecy, you are to position yourself, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And these words are action words. They are station, yasab. That means to set yourself up before them.
Yes.
Come here, Jacob. Thank you for being so willing to help this morning. Stand right here and look that way. Brother Tom, you come stand right here. Please, sir. I just feel like I can just tell somebody what to do when I'm up here, and they just, Brother Chris, will you please come stand right here? He says to station yourself. You face him because you want to try to get at him. Amen. Station yourself. Stand and see. Now I can't see if I'm sitting down. Sit down. No, not right there. Sit down. I can't see if I'm sitting down. Amen?
Amen?
I can't see if I'm not standing. If Jacob's at home playing video games, when he's supposed to be out there fighting a battle, taking a test, or doing whatever the Lord might have him doing for that season in his life, he ain't going to pass the test if he's not positioned. Amen?
Amen.
Station, stand, and see. And we're waiting on God to come on around us and fight our enemy while we're asleep, waiting on God to do the work for us. But no. Come on back, come on back. Amen? But when we've stood up and positioned ourselves, we've got ourselves ready. God's going to fight it for us, but we've got to get ourselves ready. Somebody say, position yourself. Somebody say, get in position.
Get in position.
Wake up and get in position this morning. We're waiting on God. Waiting on God for that new job.
Come
amen.
On,
but we ain't gonna fill out the application. Y'all laugh at that. I've had somebody come, brother, will you pray for me that the Lord will give me a new job? Have you filled out any applications? Well, no. Well, then it ain't gonna do me no good to pray because you're not positioned. Amen.
I can know people like that, brother.
We're asking God to help us pass a test, but we don't want to study. We don't want to show up in time because we're afraid we might fail it, so we just ain't going to go. Well, hello, you're not going to pass it if you don't get positioned. We want God to save our marriage, but we won't go to marriage counseling. Oh, my goodness. God, I really wish you'd help my marriage. You go talk to the pastor, and the pastor say, well, would you go speak with him? I ain't going no counselor. I ain't getting positioned for God to bless me. Amen. I ain't going to get much help right here, but that's all right.
We're all happy.
We say, God, I want to be mighty in Scripture. I want to be mighty in Scripture. But our Bibles are covered in dust. We're not positioned. We want revival. But our altars are covered with ornaments of entertainment. We're not positioned. We've turned the altar into a place of entertainment because we're laying down. We're laying down waiting. All right, God. But no, he says, get in position. Go face him. I know he's bigger than you. Go face him. And then while you're right here standing, you put your arms down because you're not fighting this battle. While you're standing there and you say, God, this is bigger than me. God, I can't do it. God, I can't handle it. I can't fight this battle. And you start praising God and you say, God, I know I can't, but you can because you're Jehovah God. You are Yahshua HaMashiach. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Nisi. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are God, our peace. You are Elohim. You are the King. You are God. And all of a sudden, God says, I know, brother. I know I am. Just stand right there for a second and watch me. Slay that. Now don't fall on the ground, but just watch me slay this giant. I know you can't do it on your own, but just watch me fight this battle for you. And then when we get in position and God begins to fight our battle, we just get to sit back and watch and see the deliverance of God. And that enemy that was trying to kill us, now he's got to go the other way because his God is a little bit bigger, a whole lot bigger than he is, and he can't stand against God. He could have destroyed him. He could have killed him. He could have took everything he God. But when he relinquished his responsibility to fight what was bigger than him, God said, just step aside. I got to fight this one for you because you can't do it on your own. Somebody give God glory after you get in position. Step aside and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
Y'all can sit down. They done got too happy. Sit down. Hallelujah. 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 Praise his name. For the Lord is with you. See, if you'd have went on your own, Brother Tom's stronger. He's smarter. He's better looking. Got more money. Amen. He got it all. Because he's bigger than you. You'd have been squashed had you went on your own. But when the Lord is with you, when the Lord goes and fights with you, if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, hallelujah. If God be for us, who can stand against us? If I've got myself in position and I say, God, I need you in this battle. I need you in this fight. If he stands with us, it don't matter if it's a giant that's from the Philistine camp. It don't matter if it's a lion in the den. It don't matter if it's somebody who's come out to stone you. If God be for you, who can be against you? There's nothing that can stand against the power of God's love this morning. And if he stands with you, you can rise up in confidence and say that God will help me win this battle. Position yourself. Position yourself. How do we position ourselves? There's a timing for position. They rose up early in the morning. Probably before the sun even cracked through the windows. They rose up early in the morning. It's good to rise up early in the morning and get in position to face the enemy. Rise up and read Scripture. Rise up and pray and position yourself and ask God to help you. Don't wait until noonday halfway through the battle to start crying out upon the Lord. Position yourself early in the morning. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Earnestly I will seek you. We got to get positioned early. Amen. Before the attack comes, before the enemy's made his way into the camp, we got to get in. Somebody say, get in position. No, say it like you got to mean it. Get in position. Come on, get in position. Hurry up, get in position. We got to get ready, get ready, get ready. Like T.D. Jakes would say, get ready. Get in position this morning. The enemy's coming. He's 15 miles out the gate. We got to get ready.
Amen.
Early, before they get into the camp, before our children are in prison. If they'd stop taking the Scripture out of school, they wouldn't have to read it in jail this morning. Amen. They got to get it back in the right position. Get it positioned in the, amen. Whew. Before we're standing in divorce court, get positioned. Oh, Lord. Get positioned. Before we wake up in a stranger's bed, get positioned. Before I wake up overdosed with a needle hanging out my arm, get positioned. Oh, hallelujah. Before somebody's coming to identify my dead body in the morgue, I got to get in position. I can't wait until the attack has already come. Because if I wait until the attack comes and I'm not in position, he will overtake me. But if I position myself early in the morning, early in my life, before I get into my teenage years and my mid years, amen, before the attack comes, before the temptress comes and attacks me, I've got to get in position and be ready. Amen. Mamas and daddies, get your babies ready. Get them ready. Get them positioned this morning. They need a commander. They need a king who will rise up in their life and say, get in position. Because the enemy's right outside the gate. Satan comes to seek, kill, and to destroy. And he's right outside the gate. Right outside the gate. We got to get positioned early. Put your trust in the Lord and you'll be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. So not only do we have a timing for position, but we position our trust. Our trust has to be in the proper position before our feet can be established. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. It is the Lord whom we must trust this morning. Position our trust in the Lord. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Amen. Because we put our trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. And he consulted with the people. Goodness. Jehoshaphat, not only did they position in time, not only did they position their trust, but Jehoshaphat positioned himself as king, as leader, under the Lord's authority. When trouble comes against us, that's not time for us to jump ship. It's not time for us to turn our back and to run out and let the enemy just take whatever he desires to take from those whom he's coming against. No, it's time for us to position ourselves as leaders in the church. Not only does he maintain his position, but he also helps other people find their position. Because he appointed those. He said, I've got to stand firm as king, and now I've got to help you all find your position, because everybody's a little concerned right now.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Everybody gets a little concerned in certain seasons of life, whether it be politically, whether it be health, whether it be an enemy against the church, we get a little concerned. But somebody's got to stand up and stand firm and say, you know what? I know it's looking nasty out there, but my eyes ain't on that junk anyway. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. Hey, Brother Tom, come on now. You don't need to keep looking at that. I need you to get over here and praise the Lord. Sister Marie, I don't need you to keep looking at that. Come on, get in position. Get in position. Somebody has to help them get in position. And he appoints them. He positions their praise at the forefront of the assembly. No wonder Jehoshaphat had to consult them. Yeah. The praise team were probably thinking he's sending them on a suicide mission. All I got is a guitar and a set of drums. They got swords, shields. Amen. Yeah. And you want me at the forefront? Don't you? Yeah, I know. Okay, Jehoshaphat, I know you're distressed. Let's go back and look at the plans one more time, make sure that you didn't communicate this wrong. You want the praise team at the front of the battle, and then the ones who's got the weapons behind them? Yeah, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. That's what God said he wanted. That's what I want. And in an expression of faith, those who sang and praised the Lord in holy attire were at the front of the line. Not because they were more important. Amen. They were actually less powerful with their hands. They didn't have no weapons that you would get from the blacksmith. They didn't have any shields.
Amen.
They weren't qualified to be in the front. Amen. But in an expression of faith, they positioned themselves at the front of the line. With faith in their heart and a song on their lips, they begin to march and they begin to sing. They begin to march and they begin to sing. And I don't know how they sang it. This is how I pictured it in my mind. But I imagine they began to sing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love and kindness is everlasting." And they just sang it over and over again. "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love and kindness is everlasting." And all the way. Y'all stomp your feet with me. Stomp your feet. "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love and kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." And that's what they just began to sing all the way. If y'all can learn the words, y'all just sing it with me. "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." Oh, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." And they just kept singing it. "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." And see, some folks wouldn't like that. Because it's one of them 7-Eleven songs, amen? "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love, kindness is everlasting." But it has a meaning to it, right? "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." Amen. We don't really know what's about to happen. We're up front here with our instruments, and the guys with the sword and shields is behind us. We're going to give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. I don't know what's going to take place, but I'm going to give thanks to the Lord. If I die, I'm going to give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. It was there before the battle began. It's there when the battle's raging, and it'll be there when I get through, amen. Whether I'm dead on the field or whether I'm raising my hands in victory, His loving kindness is everlasting. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, when they begin singing and praising, not a moment before, not a moment after, but when they begin singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes. Yeah. Most, like, bunch of them. Multiple. Bunch of them. You had one enemy, now you got ambushes against that one enemy. Hallelujah. The Bible says they were routed. Some might would argue that it was their faith that moved the heart of God. And I believe you're probably right. But that faith was expressed through singing and praise. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes. When they opened their mouth and they cried out to God and they began to sing and worship God, the Lord turned that praise into a weapon. The Lord set ambushes. And the Bible says they began to turn against themselves, and what once was a united enemy that was a threat against Judah became divided and fell at their feet of praise. Amen. What used to be an enemy that I was afraid of, when I started praising, amen. When I started singing, when I started worshiping in the house, when I let the spirit of freedom sweep across and I began to do what God told me to do, amen, when I opened up and gave a loud shout of victory, when I gave a loud shout of praise, amen, the enemy fell at my feet. Amen. When they began to praise, the Lord set enemy. Just like when the walls fell around Jericho this morning. Amen. When the trumpet sound, the walls that kept them out, they had to fall flat at their feet. Amen. Oh, just like when Paul and Silas were there in prison. And the Bible says at midnight they began to pray and sing hymns unto the Lord. And when they began to praise the Lord, those walls began to fall. Those gates began to shake. The earthquake, amen, it came and it destroyed the prison where they were kept. And that place that used to be a prison turned into a praise room. And I wish somebody would just get up and give God some glory, because I believe that the same God who broke down the walls of Jericho is the same God who can walk up into your prison this morning, and when you begin to praise the Lord and give Him glory and tell Him His love is everlasting, those things that keep you out and those things that keep you in, they have to fall, and you're going to come out victorious before the Lord. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. There was another one. There's another one who's got some praise going on. There was a woman who came into the house of a Pharisee. And she come in there and she opened up this box of ointment. Oh, hallelujah. It was the best she had. She probably used it for some misused it in times past for some things she probably shouldn't have, according to traditional teaching. You study that on your own. But she took what she had, and she came into this Pharisee's house, and Jesus was sitting there dining with him. And she took what she had, and she began to break that alabaster box of ointment, and she began to pour it over his feet, and she began to worship the Lord and kiss his feet. Oh, hallelujah. That Pharisee, you know how them Pharisees are. When you start letting the Holy Spirit get to working and moving and God begin to changing things, oh, that Pharisee says, oh, Lord, if you knew who that was washing your feet, you wouldn't let him in that church. Oh, hey, if you knew who that was on them drums up there, you wouldn't let him touch that cymbal. Amen. If you knew who that was teaching that Sunday school class, you wouldn't let him in there teach that class. How dare you let so-and-so sing in the choir? How dare you let somebody stand up and read a devotion? And that spirit of Pharisee rises up and says, Lord, oh, Lord, if you knew who that was washing your feet, you'd have cast her out. And Jesus said, let me tell you something, Pharisee. Let me tell you something, church member who thinks you're entitled and got privileges over somebody who God just saved. Let me tell you something. This woman, since she's come in, hadn't stopped worshiping me, hadn't stopped praising me, hadn't stopped giving me glory. Hey, and you've done got stuck so far in religion that you've been bound and can't even say hello when I walk in the door. But this woman, she hadn't ceased to praise me. And because of that praise, those walls of discrimination are going to fall off of her life, and that thing that used to separate her from grace, it's been torn into. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody give God glory. Aren't you glad that when we praise Him, walls fall at our feet? Glory, hallelujah. Oh, I wish you would just get a little dignity. I wish you'd just get a little spirit in you. Amen. I wish you'd just compose yourself, Pastor. Well, I wish you'd get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm tired. I'm tired of what we call church. Yeah. And I want the Holy Ghost to have His way. Amen. And if it's a Pharisee I have to scare off, amen. So be it. And if I'm driven out, guess what? I'll go preach it somewhere else. Because God called me and God will provide. But I'm thankful that when we begin to praise Him, walls fall down around us this morning. Because praise is a weapon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise is a weapon. For though we walk in the flesh, oh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses this morning. I might look like a man on the outside, and you're probably right. I'm weak on the outside, and you're probably right. I'm not all that good looking on the outside, and you're probably right. But when I go to the war and I get on the battlefield, you might be looking at a little bitty David standing against a Philistine giant. Oh, but just like David said, all you see is a sling and a stone, but what you can't see inside of me is bigger than I am. And I may not be all that powerful on the outside, but I war within the flesh, but not against the flesh. I'm not at war with a fleshly enemy this morning. And my weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. When I fight and open my mouth, there's something going on in the spiritual realm that you can't see. Your fleshly eyes show you David and the giant, but that spirit man wants you to see that the God who stands beside David is a lot bigger than that giant that he faces, because his weapon was not in that sling and it wasn't that stone. He said, you come to me, oh, in the name of the Philistines. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Oh, and we see right after that praise break, oh, hallelujah, he begins to swing that thing and lets it loose. I come to you in the name of the Lord. For the Lord is loving kindness, and he endures forever. And he slings that thing, and right after his praise break, the enemy falls at his feet. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory. For our weapons are divinely powerful. Divinely powerful. I didn't get this from the store. You can't buy this on the market. Amazon ain't got it for sale. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of y'all are facing a giant, and you're trying your best. You've called the doctor. You got a second opinion. You got a third opinion. You got a fourth opinion. You got a fifth opinion. They've run out of opinion. You can't afford no more. Just like the one with the issue of blood. We've been trying in our own efforts to win the battle. Well, if I do this, 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 and this, that'll be the problem solved. Our weapons are not carnal. Some battles we can't fight with fist and a sword. And Satan's knocking at your door to let you know there's an ambush coming. There's an attack coming. There's a problem at your door. And I was thinking through this week, and I started thinking in my mind, Satan, if it's a fight you want, it's a fight you're going to get. If it's somebody say, if it's a fight he wants, it's a fight he's going to get. Some of y'all quit fighting. Amen. Some of you quit praising. Some of you quit praying. Some of you quit reading. Some of you quit looking to the Lord and started looking. But if it's a fight he wants, it's a fight he's going to get. And I'm not going to pick up a sword. I'm not going to pick up a shield. I'm not even going to have to use my fist in this one. Somebody ought to just get with me this morning. If it's a fight he wants, it's a fight he's going to get. And I'm not going to go in my own strength, but I'm going to relinquish it to the Lord. I'm going to turn it over to God, and I'm going to fight him with my weapon of praise. Somebody shout glory this morning. Somebody say, God is my King and my Lord. I can't do it on my own, but when I show up to the battlefield, I do have a weapon. Amen. Y'all say, well, that's not in the bylaws. You're not supposed to pray. Well, you're not supposed to dance in the church. Get over it. Amen. Get over that for a few minutes, and let's just give God our crazy praise for about 30 seconds. Somebody give God the glory. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. If it's a fight he wants, it's a fight he's going to get. Oh, you showed up this morning and you felt defeated. You felt scared. You felt anxious. You didn't know what to do. But if it's a fight he wants, somebody say, it's a fight he's going to get. And give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. It's not mine. It's too big for me. But if I position myself, and if I look to the author and the finisher of my faith, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
That's right.
No weapon. No weapon formed against me shall prosper when I show up with my weapon of praise.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, David, he got down there, his old ruddy thing, smelled like a sheep, nasty, skinny, talking about needed a hamburger. Been out there working with the sheep, and all these soldiers show up. Just picture this. All these church folks show up with their suit and tie, Bible under one arm, devotion on the other. Amen.
Come on.
They didn't practice their prayer because they hope the preacher calls on them today so they can say it. They're ready. They look like they came to church. Amen.
Amen.
They look like they came to war. But then all of a sudden, somebody comes in the back door. They ain't even got a pair of shoes on. Might even smell like a little bit of whiskey. Might not have no teeth. Might smell a little funny. Old Ruddy. This old Ruddy guy. Old Ruddy thing. And what you didn't realize is that he's there because God sent him there. And he don't look like you. He don't talk like you. He don't walk like you. He don't stand like you. He ain't got a sword like you. He ain't got a shield like you. He ain't got a Bible. He can't quote John 3:16. Hadn't had time to read his Bible this week because he'd been fighting all week trying to survive and make bread for his family.
Amen.
And that's the very one that stands up against the giant that we're all intimidated of.
Yeah, amen.
Because he didn't come in his own strength. He didn't come in his own might. He didn't come in the name of tradition. He came in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
With a weapon of praise. The Bible says that they looked out toward the multitude. Behold, no one had escaped. Somebody say, look again.
Look again.
Somebody say, look again.
Look again.
No.
Look again.
Look, yeah, look one more time. Because see, all the while you were looking to your Heavenly Father, all the while you were giving Him praise and honor and glory, that thing that you were looking at to start with that gave you fear and anxiety and disturbance, that thing that made you sick to your stomach, you've been so busy looking at God, you didn't even realize that behind you, they fell to their feet. Somebody say, look again. Somebody say, I left church this morning praising the Lord, and I just feel like God's been out there fighting my battles for me. He's been on the battlefield. And when you get out of this service this morning, look again.
Amen.
Look again. If it ain't this service, come back next Sunday, praise the Lord, go out and look again.
Amen.
If it don't happen in that service, come back, praise the Lord again. When you leave, look again. Because at some point, while you're praising God, that thing that scared you to death, that caused you to seek His face, is the very thing that He's going to give you victory over and provide for you through this morning. How do I know that? Because when they went out after looking again, they found so much among them. More than they could carry. Oh, I'm abundantly blessed. I got more than I can carry. I'm more than a conqueror. I didn't just overcome the battle, amen. I'm a more than a conqueror. I got blessings I can't contain. I got warehouses that are busting at the seam. Because God, and listen, I'm not a name it, claim it kind of preacher. But I'll tell you this, God can do for you above abundantly that. You ask or thank, and you ask Him to help you fight the enemy. But God said, oh yeah, I'll help you fight the enemy. But I got something for you this morning. That very thing... Oh, that very thing that was trying to kill you is the very thing that's going to give you provision in the next season of your life. Oh, He's got riches stored up in the warehouse of the wicked this morning. Oh, they thought they were rich. They thought they had something. Satan thought he had made them something. But what he didn't realize is that all the while they were being left alone from the time they came into the promised land to the time they meet Him again, all the while, God was letting them be blessed, letting them get riches, letting them get treasures, so that when we face them again, when we face them again and they're defeated, all those things they worked for over the years are the things that we're going to just go get and collect and put in our arms. And we're going to come back saying, Lord, it's more than I can carry. I wish somebody would look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's more than I can carry. Somebody give God glory. Let me breathe. Hallelujah. More than I can carry. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. After this time of positioning and blessing, we see a season of praise. Somebody say, get ready to praise Him. I know, oh Lord, I know it's a little longer than usual, but somebody get ready to praise Him. We see, we get in this season right here, this time of service, and we say, all right, preacher, that's been a good one. We got 5 points, 2 introductions, 3 conclusions. It's time to go eat. Can I tell you, let's just, I bind the spirit of impatience in Jesus' name right now. I bind it in Jesus' name and cast it out. I'm not impatient this morning. I want to hear something from the Lord. I want to leave victorious in the Lord this morning. And so I bind the spirit of impatience. And I say, God, let church begin. Amen. We get in this season, this time right here, we say, oh goodness, we've made it through service. And we've had another good church time. And we cut off when God really wants to start working. Right now we're in a season of praise. because we've already had a problem. We've already had a prayer. We've already heard a prophecy. Amen. We've already had provision because we've been positioned. Now we got to give God a little bit of space of praise. I can't just accept the gift and walk out not giving thanks. Where is the one? Where is the one among the ten whom God delivered from leprosy? They didn't have time to praise God. It was time for lunch. KFC was about to close. But I bind the spirit of impatience and I loose you to let God have some glory this morning in His house, because He's given us provision. We've got to return a spirit of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise, because I was in the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, I wish I had somebody on the organ. If I had somebody on organ, brother, we would never get out of here. I was in a valley of the shadow of death. Amen. I was in an enemy's. I was in the presence of my enemy, and I was about to be killed. But the Bible says they assembled in the valley of Baraka. What significance about the valley of Baraka? That valley means the valley of blessing. And so God took that valley of the shadow of death, and He turned it into a valley of blessing. Amen. Somebody say, get ready. He's fixing to change the situation. Oh, He's fixing to turn the valley of a shadow of death into a valley of blessing. And where I should have been killed, where I should have been stolen from, where I should have been destroyed, where I should have been laying silent, that's the place. I'm going to give God a little praise in the house, right in the middle of my enemy. He's prepared a table for me, and I'm going to dine, and I'm going to eat it in His face and let Him know that my God is bigger than him. And so what I used to be afraid of, now I'm dancing on top of this morning, because God has given me victory. I will give Him praise. Somebody give God a praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand on your feet. Hallelujah. I was in a valley of the shadow of death, but He's moved me to the valley of Baraka. Jehoshaphat's at their head. Jehoshaphat couldn't lead them in a praise of victory had He not led them in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah.
Had He have jumped ship when the problem arose, He wouldn't have been the one at the forefront leading them back. This is with Jehoshaphat at their head,
yes,
returning to Jerusalem with joy.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but if I'm going to have a problem, I want to have a praise too. Because I'm going to have problems.
Yeah.
It don't matter what I do. I'm going to have problems. But I want to be able to come out of that problem with a spirit of praise and joy. For the Lord has made me to rejoice over their enemies, over my enemies. With harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. They made some noise.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of noise.
A lot of noise.
Yeah.
Very loud voice. Loud sounding cymbal. Made some noise in the house. They got a little, what they call, crazy praise. Amen. They got a little crazy in their praise because they went through a season of dread, a season of anxiousness, a season of fear. And the Lord turned the valley of the shadow of death into a valley of blessing. And the dread of God was on all the kingdoms of the land when they heard that the Lord had fought against their enemy. So that fear just changed positions.
That's right.
That thing that you was afraid of, now they're afraid.
Amen.
Because they've seen how God fights for you. And if you read through your Bible, anytime God fights for somebody, anytime the Lord stands up and fights, everybody around them gets a little dreadful. Every enemy, every other enemy, oh Lord, here we go.
Yeah,
see, y'all thought that because that enemy was gone, there was no other enemy going to come at them. No, that's not what happened. That enemy's been defeated, but guess what, Brother Eugene? There's a line right after that one. There's some more enemies right after that one. But guess what? Next time they come against you, they're going to come with a little bit more circumspection.
Amen.
That's That's the Israel of God. Amen?
Amen.
And they serve the God of Israel. And we've seen how in times past God's fought for them. So we better be a little bit more careful this time. It don't stop them from coming, but it does make them dreadful. Because when God fights for you, everybody knows about it.
Amen.
Your friends and your enemies know when God fights for you. God gave them rest on all sides. How many of you want rest on all sides? When you rise up in the morning, good morning, God. Instead of good God is morning. Amen.
Yeah.
We wake up, oh, good morning, God. I've got rest on all sides. Walking through the noonday, and I had to drive through 280 traffic today during lunch, but ain't God good? Because I got rest on all sides. When I go to sleep at night after just getting off the phone with my children, whose children are sick or whatever it might be, I'm going to sleep good tonight. Because I know that while I'm asleep, He never slumbers.
Amen. Right.
And if I just keep trusting in Him and keep seeking His face, He'll fight for me.
That's right.
And praise is a weapon. Now this morning we're going to sing a song.